Bible character or several? I do. In the Old Testament, hands down, my favorite guy is Moses. I love Moses. Oh, yes, David's up there. Abraham's up there. Joshua's up there. But Moses is my man. And I tell young pastors, and I'm glad that Lisa is here to hear this, I tell young pastors and interns, get familiar with Moses. Read all about him in the Old Testament, because Moses is the consummate pastor. He is the perfect model of what a guy like me in this position ought to be doing. So I want to talk to you about Moses for a few moments this morning. In fact, today I'm going to begin a series of sermons entitled Knowing the God Who Is. The more we know about God, the better we can love him, the better we can serve him, the better we can enjoy fellowship with him. So in the next few weeks, I'm going to try to take you through some Old Testament passages and reintroduce us to this God who is. This morning we begin in the book of Exodus. You heard Bob read. He did real well with the ites, didn't he? All those ites that's found there. We read about the story of Moses. And just to rehearse in your own mind what's going on, we read from chapter 3, but if you read chapter 1 and chapter 2, it gives the context and the foundation for what's happening in chapter 3. So let me run you through that very, very quickly. In Exodus 2, we find Moses packing his bags and getting out of Dodge because he's in trouble. But before I tell you about the trouble, let me tell you about Moses. I'm sure you remember the story of how Pharaoh of Egypt was concerned about these Hebrew people growing and having children, and he was threatened by them. And so Pharaoh made a decree that every baby boy born to the Hebrews were to be thrown into the Nile, where there were crocodiles. But there were some midwives who were tending to Hebrew women who were giving birth who did not go along with that decree of Pharaoh, and they allowed some baby boys to be born, thank God. And one of those babies born was Moses. And his parents hid him for as long as they thought they could. But then the day came when they knew they would not be able to hide him anymore. And so they built a little ark, a little boat, and they put pitch on it, which is kind of waterproof. Can you believe it, parent? They took that little baby boy, who was the apple of their eye, and they placed him in the ark and set him sailing on the Nile into the sovereignty of God, trusting that somehow and some way he may be spared, not having any idea whatsoever how that might happen. Well, they also sent Moses' sister to go down and watch, and she's hidden in the bulrushes looking. When Pharaoh's daughter comes down to bathe in the Nile, and as she's bathing, she hears a baby cry. And she sends her servants out, and they find this little ark with baby Moses inside. And they bring it back to her, and she is so overjoyed. We don't know the whole story there. Was she childless up to this point? Could she not have children? But she was overjoyed, and she took baby Moses to be her own son. And yet this baby, there's no baby formula at this time. There's no baby bottles at this time. So Pharaoh's daughter needs to find a nursing mother. And Moses' sister goes up to the daughter and says, would you like me to go and fetch a Hebrew nurse for you? She said, great idea. And she goes and gets Moses' mother to nurse Moses. But Moses grows up in the palace, and he grows up actually thinking he's an Egyptian for a long period of time, actually. We don't know exactly how long. He was in Egypt 40 years in chapters 1 and 2. But the day came when he began to realize, I wish we knew exactly how, but he began to realize, wait a minute, I'm not an Egyptian. Why, I'm a Hebrew. I'd like to speculate and think that when mother was nursing her baby boy and he began to grow up older, they would nurse much longer than most of our children would today. Perhaps she whispered in his little ear, Moses, Moses, you are one of us. I don't know. I can't say that. But it dawned on him one day that he wasn't Egyptian. He was Hebrew. And one day after that, he was out and he witnessed some Egyptian soldiers brutalizing the Hebrew people. And he stepped in to help. And he eventually killed the Egyptian attacker against these Hebrew people. Now he's in trouble because word gets back to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh puts a bounty on his head and swears that if he ever finds Moses, he will kill him. And the Hebrew people reject him too, because after all, he's been growing up in the palace wearing Egyptian clothes and speaking the language of the people there, eating at the table of the palace. They don't trust him either. And so with the bounty on his head, he packs his bags and he heads out of town. And he goes to Midian, miles and miles away, where he meets a woman, falls in love with her and marries her, and has two children. And his job is he becomes the shepherd of the flock of his father-in-law. And in chapter 3, we find him out in the Midian wilderness with his flock of his father-in-law's sheep, tending them, minding his own business, doing what he did every day. And guess who comes calling? God is right. Knocking on the door, encountering Moses out in that wilderness. I want you to notice a few simple things, but very important things about this encounter that Moses and God has in the wilderness. The first thing I want you to notice is that God knows where to find Moses. He knows exactly where Moses is. Moses has run. Moses is hiding. Moses has forgotten all about what's going on back in Egypt. In fact, you need to know, he was 40 years in Egypt. He was 40 years in Midian. It's been 40 years. This guy's 80 years old, and God's going to call him. And so, folks, you have no excuse, right? Right. But God knows exactly where he is. You know, you and I can run and try to hide from God. Have you ever tried that? I have. I tried to run from God, but he found me on a city bus in New York City. God knows right where you live. He knows if you're trying to hide or not, but he can find you. You remember Jonah? God gave Jonah a message, go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. Jonah said, no way. Jumped in a boat, went as far away from Nineveh as he could possibly get. But God found him, didn't he? And had him specially delivered on the beach by that fish he designed to grab him up. So I want you to know, dear friends, God knows where you are. And when I say that, I don't just mean geographically. Yes, he knows your address, he knows your house, he knows your home. But when I say to you, God knows you and where you are, I'm saying he knows exactly where you are in relationship with him. Moses was trying to get away from Yahweh. Maybe you are too. Here's a second little simple thing, but important thing I want you to know about this encounter that Moses had with God. God knew exactly how to get his attention. Moses is out in the wilderness and there are shrub bushes there, and all of a sudden, right before him, a few yards away, a bush catches on fire and begins to burn, but it is not consuming the bush. Now, that's an odd fire, folks, because fire consumes, but it's not consuming. And that gets Moses' attention. And he goes over to look at this, and he's going, my goodness, Jethro, my father-in-law, will never believe me when I say there was a bush burning, but it didn't consume the bush. And so now God is able to speak to him. God knows how to get your attention. Let me ask you a personal question. I want you to just think to yourself. You don't have to answer out loud. Presbyterians don't answer out loud, but I just say that to be safe. How did God get your attention? He got our attention somehow. Now, maybe you never thought of it this way, and maybe how God got your attention was not as amazing as what happened to Moses. But there came a moment in your life when you said, I need God. There came a moment in your life when you said, I need something more than what I've currently got. Now, maybe you were a child growing up in the church. That's wonderful. And as you grew up in the church, there came a time when you said, you know what? I believe this. This is how I want to live my life. I want God in my life. I want to follow Jesus. That was God getting that child's attention. How did God get your attention so that you began to say, I need God. I need Jesus. I don't know. But it would be a fascinating thing to learn about what was going on inside you that caused you to say, I need to start reading my Bible. I need to start praying. I need to start going to church. I need to start investigating this relationship with God, however it began to develop. So God knew how to get Moses' attention. He knows how to get yours. Third, very simple but very important thing I want you to notice about this encounter between Moses and God is that God knew his name. Did you catch that? When the burning bush is taking place, God says, Moses, Moses. You know, the most intimate thing about you and me is our name. When a person knows us by name, that's special. That's important. That's why I'm trying to learn all your names. Because that truly is a very important aspect of relationship. Instead of saying, hey, you, when someone can say, hey, Bill, hey, Fred, hey, Mary, hey, Joyce, that's special. And God calls him out. And to show you how important God knowing people's name is in the Bible, I know you will remember when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early that Sunday morning, the first Easter morning, and her tears had filled her eyes so completely that a man spoke to her and she turned and looked and thought it was the gardener. And then Jesus said one word, that changed everything? Mary. And her response was, Rabbi, because God knew her name. God knows your name. God knows everything there is to know about you more thoroughly and more completely than anyone else. Tony Campolo, who is a sociologist, actually, but a powerful preacher. I've seen him in person. I've read many of his books. I've heard many of his sermons. He's an Italian, and you know it when you hear him. But he attends a huge black church where he preaches from time to time, and he preaches with great energy and power. Tony Campolo says that in heaven there is a gigantic refrigerator with your picture on it. Because God knows who you are, and he did for Moses. Well, here's another very simple but very important thing about this encounter that Moses has with God. Notice God's call to Moses. His call. God wants him. God wants him on his team. God wants him to enter into relationship with him. I just want you to notice there's a twofold aspect to God's call upon the life of Moses. I want you to see that. It's very important. First of all, God called Moses to come and know him, that is, to know God, and to get familiar with this God, and to enter into a relationship with this God, so that Moses would always know who this God is. Let me read the passage for you. In verses 4 through 6, he said this, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, he saw that he got Moses' attention. God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. Then he said, now listen, do not come near. Take off your sandals, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. You're dealing with a holy, majestic, almighty, awesome God, Moses. Be careful. But you need to know him. You need to experience him. So take off. It's holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob. And what does Moses do? He does what any of us would do. He hid his face. Because the glory and the majesty to which he's being introduced is overwhelming. My dear friends, God calls you and me to know this God and to be at all with this God and to be in submission to this God and to be surrendered to this God and to love this God and to serve this God. So he calls Moses to himself and he calls you and me to himself. First and foremost, the call of God is to come to him. Do you remember when Jesus called the disciples? He said this, come follow me. Now, there's a second aspect to the call, and that is once he introduces Moses to himself, and Moses gets the idea, this is a God I need to know, this is a God I need to love, this is a God I need to serve, then God says to him, I have a task for you to do. I have a ministry for you to perform. I have a mission to send you on. May I read it for you? It's found in that same reading, verse 10, where it says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Called to know God intimately. Called with honor to serve that God wherever he may send him. That's our calling. You're called to know God. You're called to go out into the world and serve that God. And today, we have the awesome privilege of ordaining and installing men and women in our congregation who have not only heard the call of God to come and know this God and experience this God, but also have heard the call to serve Him. And they're going to serve us as a congregation. And as opportunities avail themselves, they will be serving our entire community of Fountain Hills, all because they've heard down deep in their heart the call of God. Now, you may not be a deacon, you may not be an elder, you may not be singing the choir, you may not be a greeter, but there's a place for you to serve God. Listen for His call. Follow Him into that call, and you will be blessed. Here's the final thing. And I told you they were simple, but they're important. I want you to notice that God wants Moses to know that if he obeys His call, it will not always be easy. See, I thought when I was young and I felt God was calling me, this is going to be fun, it's going to be a breeze, because I'm doing what God wants me to do and everybody is going to love it. You laugh because you know, don't you? Well, listen. First, God encourages Moses. Thank God for that. In verse 16, it says this. Listen to this carefully. We didn't read these verses, but he says, go and gather the elders of Israel. Okay? And then jumping to verse 18, he says this. Go and gather them, and they will listen to your voice. I'm waiting for God to tell me that. You elders. You know, as I gather you, God has yet to say, oh, they're going to listen to you. But honestly and sincerely, He says, they're going to rally around you. I'm going to make sure you have support. And then here's the second thing He says that's not so positive. In verse 19, He says this, but I know, this is God speaking, because He knows all things, I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. Moses, this is going to be difficult. God's work is difficult sometimes in some places. But if God be with us and God has called us, we will succeed because of God, not because of us. He is the God who calls and sends. Get to know Him better and better. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we want to know You deeply, sincerely, earnestly, passionately. We want You to make a difference in our life. We want to love You. Our love is so fickle sometimes, but God, You understand. And so help us to honor You and revere You and serve You all the days of our life. And use us for Your honor and glory wherever You send us to serve. In Jesus' name, amen.